Welcome to episode 82 of the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. And today on the line, I have one other mommy beta, Miss Natalie Gafori, and her beautiful baby boy, Baby Z.
That's what we call her. Yeah, Baby Z is joining us today. So if you hear some crinkle paper or a rattle or some little snorts or cries, that's what it is.
It's not you.
Although crinkle paper is pretty fun.
It's not any pregnancy flatulence or anything.
On your part.
On my part. I am 36 weeks pregnant now, so 1 month to go. Yippee. Things are just flying by, especially with the holidays. But let's just dive into the show. Today we're going to talk about cord blood banking, work time versus family time, and how women seem to be getting, or I guess moms seem to be getting it more right than dad. And lastly, because we're mostly all plastic phobes, we have a plastic phobe gift guide to discuss. So Natalie, how's it going? Are you all ready for the holidays?
Yeah, mostly. I have a few small, easy gifts to get, and I'd say 75% of my wrapping done. So my local Mother's Club has a gift wrap night, which is super cool. You leave the kids at home, and they provide a ton of wrapping paper and ribbon and scissors and tape and wine and mini bundt cakes, and you can go and wrap for a couple hours and you know chat with some friends and get some wrapping done. So I did that, and it was awesome. I got so much done.
That sounds like so much fun, especially with the wine. Though my wrapping isn't that good sober, so not sure if the wine would help. And I'm guessing Sean was there to watch the boys while you went out.
He was. He's an awful gift wrapper. In fact, my mom was here this morning, and I'm pretty sure I saw Sean slip her my Christmas present so she could wrap it instead of him. So Sean is happy to watch the boys if I'm going to wrap all the presents.
Oh, that's too cute. Well, you know, you'll know pretty quickly if he wrapped it.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty obvious.
Well, since we're talking about Sean, let's go ahead and dive into this story that I saw in Parenting Magazine. And it's basically from a study called The New Dad, Caring, Committed, and Conflicted. And it was talking about just the change in the workplace today. And I guess one in five fathers work 55 hours or more every week. But that's not surprising. But, you know, for the first time, women are actually making up more than 50% of the workforce. But yet it seems that moms still seem to have family, at least in my mind, as more of a priority than dad. I've had an argument this past week with my husband. And basically, this study is saying that only 6% of fathers interrupt work time for family. But conversely, 29% frequently interrupt family time for work. Have you had any of these issues with Sean? It seems like he gets home at a pretty decent time, and his job has a pretty good work-life balance.
Yeah, that we've been very, very lucky in that. Sean's job is the kind of job, or at least the way, I mean, but with everything Sean's done, with law school, he was never a stress case. He treated it like a job, and he was there from 9 to 5. And when he came home, he usually didn't have to study or do anything because he spent every day while he was there on campus studying and getting what he needed to get done and not bringing it home. So he's kind of the same way with work. Every once in a while, I'll see him checking his email just to make sure there's not something that's urgent that needs to get done when he's at home. But for the most part, you know, he goes in and he works his full day, and then he comes home and he can shut it off more or less. And it's also the nature of his job and the company that he's working for. Not everybody has that luxury, but I've been really lucky in that Sean is good about doing that, and the particular job he has allows him to do that.
Yeah, and that's an issue with us, because where my husband works, he's been working really hard, a lot of hours, and it finally has paid off, and he wrapped up this deal he's working on for like 2 or 3 months, getting in like, you know, at 2 or 3 in the morning, which is really hard on Elle, on me, and it really scares me with the new baby coming. And thankfully that ended, and the hours were good. But then yesterday he said, oh, yeah, I'll just be home normal time, so like 7:30-ish, and then that time came and went, hadn't heard from him. Maybe around like 8:30, I finally hear from him. And it's just so bizarre, the culture of his company or his office here. He has two female bosses and both have children, yet they will walk into his office at 6:30 at night to start an hour and a half conversation they could have had during the day.
Oh, man.
And it just makes it very awkward because he doesn't feel like he can interrupt and say, you know, my wife's expecting me, or can I send her a quick text and let her know what's up, or something right. like that, you know. But, I mean, 6:30 to 8, that's precious family time. And for me, I'm like, I think you should definitely stand up for, you know, it's important. It's not something silly like, oh, okay, I need to get off a little early here and there. It's you know, quality time with your children at this, you know, time in their lives.
Right. That's hard to do. I mean, because he has a lot of responsibility as the primary breadwinner in the family. And I can see how he wouldn't want to jeopardize that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the fine line to walk comes in, because I feel the same way. Of course, when he says I have to work, and he is also very good about, you know, getting work done when he needs to get it done and not stressing out. And this is more of just, you know, the culture of the office and FaceTime and that kind of thing, and something that you can't necessarily control or, you know, say anything about. It's just the way that things are. So it just makes it hard because, yeah, he is the primary breadwinner and I can't say anything, but it's that time is so important to me. So I just thought that this article was really interesting because they're saying, you know, I feel like women more likely would say, you know what, I need to get out of the office, like go into the office early, like, okay, just want to let you know I haven't seen my daughter, you know, right. 2 months. I'd really like to start trying to get out at a decent time while things have slowed down a bit.
Right.
You know.
And I think sometimes with women, it's almost like they don't have the option. They have to be that way because women, I think, more often have the responsibility of, I have to get my daughter to a doctor's appointment, or mm-hmm. I have to pick them up from daycare by this time. I think those, although men definitely share those responsibilities, those things still often fall more so on the mother. So they don't really have an option to not speak up. They have to. And that is kind of shown in how women have a harder time rising up the ranks.
That is true. Yeah. But it's also, I guess, sort of more assumed, as you're saying, and it's not as big of a deal if they need to get out as opposed to.
Right. It's kind of, it's looked on differently, probably, I think, is right. The best thing about it.
Yeah.
Which is not fair.
It is not fair because, you know, we all had this discussion months ago about who can have it all. Women can't have it all, but men can have it all. And, you know.
But they can't. I mean, you know, he's not getting everything he wants.
Of course not. No, exactly. I mean, we can have what we are most important to us and focus on that. And but I just thought it was interesting study to bring up because I'm sure I'm not alone in this. And I'm really nervous about with the second baby coming because, you know, if he can't really change that, then I'll be pretty much taking care of them all day by myself.
Then he's going to have to fork over some more money for some more child care is what he's going to have to do.
I'm worried for my sanity.
I'm serious, though. I mean, he's got to make a decision because you can't, you know that. You can't do everything by yourself.
Right. Though I know we do have some listeners who probably are like, suck it up, lady.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, maybe you can for a small period of time. Right now, I'm kind of going it alone, and it's fine. But I don't think I can do it forever.
Yeah. And you get lonely, too, you know?
Well, we've got enough going on where I actually don't feel lonely.
Oh, really? I mean, like at night when the...
Oh, well, if Sean wasn't home at night, I would certainly be lonely, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Plus, I need my girls. I need to see you, too.
Yeah.
There was a study recently that said women need their girlfriends and men need their wives to talk to.
That's cute. Because guys don't really talk about the deep stuff with their friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Anyways, but my husband does an amazing job taking care of us. I just, you know, I know I'm not the only one with that frustration, and I thought it was, you know, interesting.
Yeah. And I have some, you know, just so you know, I do have other friends who are going through very similar things, and it's not uncommon, and it's just a struggle. Eventually you guys will find the right balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move on to cord blood banking. And I wrote this post quickly this morning, but it's something I've been thinking about for a while, since even after my first daughter was born. When I learned about cord blood banking, I was sort of like, meh, seems kind of like a fad. Who knows where it's going? Who knows what scientific research has been done? And it seems really expensive, and there's a lot of hoops to jump through. But from what, but you did it, Natalie, the first time.
Yes, we did it both times.
Okay.
So the cord blood people have, I don't know, like $4,000 of our money or something ridiculous. But as you outline in the post, I really felt like we couldn't not do it. If we, you know, we don't just have $4,000 laying around, but if we were able to get it together. And I think if we could get it together, we couldn't not do it. I can see if you flat out don't have the money to do it, then you don't have the money to do it and you shouldn't feel guilty about it. But if you have the money to do it and you don't do it and something happens, I can't even imagine how you'd feel.
Right. Yeah.
That's the perspective I have. And I kind of have that what if mentality all the time. So it was just one of those things that I really couldn't justify not doing, even if it was a sacrifice of some other things. And I feel good that we've done it. And we chose to do CBR, cord blood registry, mostly because that was the one that my OB had used just recently. And I felt like if she had made that decision, then that's pretty much all I needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the more expensive ones.
Right.
I don't, it's been a long time since I compared them, so I don't really know, but I do know that they always have some sort of special going on.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely call and find out what their special is, because it's usually several hundred dollars off whatever the list price is.
Okay.
And if any of you do choose to go with cord blood registry, I would be happy to be the person who refers you.
Do you get a little something, something in return? A discount?
Yeah, so they, which is actually nice. I haven't actually been able to use this yet because everybody I've mentioned it to hasn't ended up doing it, so it hasn't worked out. But I think this is still the deal. They will pay for 1 year of storage if you refer someone. So if I refer you, 1 year of Zachary or Dominic storage, which is, I think it's like $165 or something like that, would be free. So it's actually a really good referral program. So just FYI, if you decide to go with them.
Yeah, well, I have looked into them, and I looked at another one closely as well called StemSite, and I think they may focus more on just the public banks or the donations, but they may do private banking as well, but they were substantially cheaper. I think it was like now they have a special going for $1,300 for the initial processing and getting everything and all that stuff, which is a lot less than, I guess, $2,000. But
well, I think mine was, I think out the door for the first year was around $1,600 or $1,700.
Okay. So when you did it, though, it seems like there have been a lot of advances made since then in terms of collecting it and making it a little easier. Was it hard for you to do? For some reason, I thought that you had to carry an ice chest or something with you.
No, it's actually really easy. So I put Sean in charge of it, and both times. And basically, so you get, once you register, they send you a little kit in the mail, and you just have to go online and you fill out a form online once you get the kit with the serial number and this and that. And you bring the kit with you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So you kind of keep it with your hospital bag or wherever that you put in your car, wherever you know it's going to make it with you to the hospital. If you're not having a C-section, you don't want to forget it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make sure your OB knows that you're doing it, and they take the kit and they... I don't know exactly when they do it, but it's like right around the time where they cut the cord. They use a special syringe and they draw the stem cells out, and they put them into beakers or little test tubey guys that are in this kit, and then they give it back to you. And I don't know. I don't think it has to be kept. I don't think it has to be kept cold. I don't remember that
part. I did look on their website today, and that is correct. You don't have to put it in a. It says do not refrigerate it.
So
you just put it in an envelope that they give you that's already self-addressed and all that.
It has a special envelope, and then you call. There's a special number you call once it's ready, and they have a courier come and pick it up within a certain number of hours, and that's it.
Hmm.
So I would definitely put Tarm in charge of it. And he doesn't have to do much. He just has to make sure the kit is registered and there, and then he has to call the courier, and that's it.
Did you have any pushback from Sean on this decision to do the cord blood?
No. Honestly, in our relationship, I make most of this.
Well, I know you're pretty frugal. So, I mean, this is obviously a decision that, and you guys are watching what you spend.
Thing, Sean probably would have been more for it than I. I probably hesitated about it more because of the money. Mm-hmm. I'm more of the frugal one in the relationship. And Sean has the biggest soft spot in his heart ever for sick kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he, I don't think, even thought twice about it. I think right. It was just, we're going to do that.
Well, you know, Tom, he's all about numbers. My husband's in finance, and it's all about the odds and risks and all that stuff. And this is obviously money that you don't want to waste, but you want to waste. Like, you don't want to have to use it. I too would rather just have peace of mind. I mean, it doesn't always work, but you know, I'm also considering the public donation route because they say that you don't have to really be a match like you do with bone marrow. So, I mean, do you know anything about public? Because even if people can't afford to private bank, it's still a little bit of a hassle to do the public banking.
You know, I had never even heard of public banking until I think after we had Dominic. So I never really looked into it because I just figured we would do for Zachary what we did for Dominic. Just on kind of a fairness level.
Right.
But it sounds interesting. I like the concept of it, but I have no idea how it works.
Hmm. Maybe I should do some more research and write a post on it. But that is something we are considering too. Not because we wouldn't want to have it for ourselves, but just because there may be some other people that need it, or, you know, if we did need something, if these other people are donating as well, then it's an easier chance for there to be a match as right. opposed to.
No, I like the concept of it. I like the kind of the community spirit of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. So I'm glad that you are a fan because I don't want to be the only one thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to do it.
No, I think, like I said, how I felt about it was if I don't do this and I can do this and I need it and I don't have it, I'm never going to forgive myself. So.
Right, yeah. Well, those are two very nice gifts for your sons to have, should they need them.
Very expensive birthday presents.
Yes, lifelong birthday presents. And then also talking about gifts, we have a plastic phobe gift guide, because over at Mommy Beta, we're all terrified of plastics, except for Alex.
I love this post, Jennifer. I was so happy when you posted it. There were several things on this list that I wish I had known about before I had made my Christmas list. Like the popcorn popper. I have a bag of popcorn kernels from Trader Joe's in my cupboard that has been there for probably 6 months because I've never actually made popcorn on the stove, and I'm kind of afraid. But I know microwave popcorn is bad for me, so I don't want to buy microwave popcorn anymore. So I wish I had this because I love popcorn, but I'm just afraid to do the stove thing for some reason.
Well, I wish I would have known before I got your gift. I would have gotten it for you. This is really neat. It's a glass microwave popcorn popper, so you don't have to worry about all the chemicals and the bags. And it takes 2 minutes and 45 seconds to pop. It's like a serving size. They have two different sizes, but it seems like the serving size one has better reviews. And it's only like $16, and it's dishwasher safe. Yeah, I thought so too.
Oh, maybe I'll get one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, $100, $16. I think Sean might be able.
Yeah, I might be able to ask for that for Christmas still.
Yeah. So I loved that too. And it's funny because I was considering getting it for my husband. He bought one of those air poppers, but it's this bowl that's like a plastic bowl. And he bought it 2 years ago or something. And you pour the kernels in there with a little bit of oil and you pop it in the microwave. And I'm like, plastic. Oh, no. Yeah, I know. I only indulge occasionally, but it smells so good. And so the other thing on here, my favorite thing on the list is the glass soda stream, which you said that you didn't know they had glass.
No, I didn't. And I've kind of hesitated to buy a soda stream because I was like, well, it's plastic. I'm trying not to buy plastic. And now that I know that that exists, that's another thing. But that one's pretty expensive.
It is. It's $180, but we got ours at Bed Bath & Beyond, and we used a 20% off coupon, and that's the cheapest that I could find. But I tell you, I use this thing like it's going out of style. I mean, I was drinking so much of the water in the plastic bottles that I was just like, I really should just invest in this other one. It's going to pay itself off, you know, quickly, and it keeps me from drinking soda, which, right, you know, I used to love.
Yeah, this girl had Coke in her baby bottle.
That was not my choice, okay?
I'm just saying you had no choice. You love soda because you've been drinking it since you were about Zachary's age.
Oh, yeah. It was delicious, though. Thankfully, I didn't end up having any caps on my teeth or anything, but I still remember that cold Coke.
Oh, gosh. So do you find, are the cartridges expensive? Do you feel like you're actually saving money, or?
I do feel like I'm saving money. And not only am I saving money, I'm also saving the planet.
Right.
Let me go preach about it. which Natalie can attest that I probably wasn't too worried about a couple years ago. But
it changes us all.
It does. But it feels good because we were buying those Crystal Geyser packs from Costco.
Right.
By the, you know, 24 pack. And those are plastic bottles. And with this, I think the cartridge with the 20% off is $12. And I mean, I probably go through one, like maybe one a month.
Oh, that's not so bad.
But I drink a lot of sparkling water. And
have you tried to make like Orangina or something like that?
They do give you flavors to put in to the water. I haven't, like, you know, just pouring it with orange juice.
Right.
You could. I've made sparkling lemonade. Ooh. You just carbonate the water first, and then you do the other stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because I don't know why, but something with the machine, you're not supposed to put anything else in there.
Makes sense.
Yeah, the only downside with the glass bottles is that they're smaller than the plastic ones, so you have to fill them up pretty frequently. But
well, it goes flat, doesn't it? Because if you open a Crystal Geyser and you only drink half of it and you put it back in the fridge, it's flat the next time you open it. Does the SodaStream stay bubbly?
It stays pretty good. For the amount of time that I go between finishing it off, it's probably, I mean, it's definitely fine. I could open it one day, and then the next day, it still has fizz when you close it. It has a really good seal on it. Those Crystal Geysers, you know, you open them up, air's just leaking out. These have a really tight seal.
Oh, that's good to know, because I hate that about the Crystal Geyser. If you open one, you have to finish it. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
They always go flat.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And I can't stand flat carbonated water.
Well, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it's like a flat Coke. Ew. So, other thing on here that I absolutely love is the French press. You have a Persian tea maker, right?
I do, but that's different. I used to do the French press. I did the French press forever. And then I got a regular coffee pot because we were drinking too much coffee to deal with the French press. And then we got on the plastic thing, and I decided to get rid of the French press because it, too, does have plastic in it.
Around the top. Yes, it does.
Around the top.
But it just pours it
really
fast.
And then we went for the Chemex, which is totally plastic-free and makes the best coffee ever.
I saw this, and I included it in here, but I haven't tried it, but it looks really neat. So the top is like a silicone, so it's not a plastic, it's just
ours is all glass.
Oh, wow. So
yeah.
How does it work? It has a little filter thing that you pour the coffee in at the top?
Yeah, so it's basically like picture two, like almost like an hourglass, like two triangles with the pointy ends together, but there's a, you know, they're not all the way triangles, it's like a neck. Where they come together, and you take a filter and you put it in the top cone, and you put your coffee grounds in there, and then you take boiling water and you bloom the grounds. It's a very sophisticated process. It takes kind of a while. It's a little bit of a pain in the butt, but it's so good. So you bloom the grounds, which means that you pour just a little bit of water in the top to kind of open them up a little bit. And then 20, 30 seconds later, you pour a bunch of hot water in the top and you let it seep through. And usually we have to do that two or three times to get enough coffee for the both of us for the morning. And it seeps through the filter and down into the bottom part. And it's really, really good. And there's absolutely no plastic. And we buy the unbleached filters, and it's pretty much as
clean a coffee as you can get.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really good. It's a little bit of a pain, like I said. If you had an electric tea kettle, it'd probably be easier, but are those plastic inside? I don't know. We just boil water on the stove and then pour it in.
Yeah, we have someone gave us a really nice tea kettle for a wedding present that we just heat up the water on the stove. Is that what you use, or do you use like in a pan or
pot? I actually use my Persian teapot.
Oh, okay. Well, I might have to try this Chemex. It's kind of expensive. It's $40, but compared to like fancy full plastic coffee makers on the market, it's much cheaper.
Right. But it is like a French press in that the coffee gets cold. So we just wrap a towel around it, but we do usually end up having to heat it up in the microwave for the second cup.
Well, we usually only have one cup each, so that'll be okay.
Fine.
Yeah. I think I have to try it. So how long does it take it to brew? Is the brewing just when it pours through?
Basically just as long as it takes it to go through the grounds, which is, I think altogether, from boiling the water to coffee is probably 10 to 15 minutes.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, because so
it's much longer than a French press.
It's about the same amount of time, or maybe a little longer. Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't have to sit and let it steep like a French press does. Like with the French press, you have to pour it in, then you have to wait before you press it down.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of extra waiting period. You're just waiting for the coffee to flow through or the water to flow through.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to try it out. Yeah. Thanks for the tip.
Highly recommend it.
Great. And our friends at Mighty Nest offer that as well. Mighty Nest is an online marketplace for non-toxic household items. We are big fans, so check them out. They're not a sponsor, but we're just big fans.
Yeah, that was free advertising for Night and Night.
And then other things were a glass blender, glass baby food containers. I gave you some of these for Baby Z. Yeah. Have you had a chance to try them out yet?
Well, we're just kind of toying with the idea of solids. I had planned to wait until 6 months. I should probably write a blog post about this. But then our doctor's like, well, you know, if he's starting to wake up more at night, maybe it makes sense. Maybe he needs the extra food, and he is definitely waking up more at night. So we've kind of started. I've tried a couple of times, and he's not that into it. So I can't decide if I'm going to keep going with it or just wait and try again in a little while. He liked the sweet potatoes, but he hated oatmeal, and he was pretty not into avocado, but he was okay with the sweet potato. So we might just go with that for a little while. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, fun stuff anyway. These are little containers that are about the size of what you would give your baby a portion when they're, I guess, starting and probably, well, like maybe 3 months into starting. I mean, they're really good size. That we were using the Mumi and Booby trays. Are you using those this time around?
I have been because I've been making purees kind of consistently just to put into other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The one change I have made is I've been cooling the stuff before I put it in the trays. So yeah. I'll puree it and then I'll cool it in the refrigerator before I put it into the plastic tray. Because they are really convenient, and I haven't found another way to freeze the baby food. I think there are some silicone trays that I was going to get for Baby Z, and then I just never ended up doing it, which I might when we actually really do start solids. But for now, I am still using the Mommy and Bubby trays, and they're definitely made out of the best kind of plastic there is, but it is still plastic.
Yeah, they are great. They're like basically, for our listeners who don't know, ice cube trays that are a little round on the bottom, and they're like perfect portion size for baby food. So you can choose one when they're little and two or three when they start needing more. And it's just a really convenient way to store it in the freezer.
Yeah, they pop out really easily and they don't take up a ton of fridge space the way they're designed. Sorry, Zachary.
He's getting fired up. I think he wants some sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And then
avocado, Mom.
No avocado.
No.
And then the final two things are drink containers. One of these is a BKR bottle, which is a glass bottle with a silicone wrap on the outside to keep it from breaking. And what I love about it is the spout that you drink out of is much smaller than the other ones that I've drank out of. And I gave this to you, Nat, as a hostess gift. Have you got to give it a try yet?
You know what? I haven't. I'm still trying to decide exactly where I want to use it because it's a little bit fatter, and I don't think it fits in the pocket in the end of my purse.
Ah.
So I haven't decided if maybe I'll keep it in the stroller because then I don't have to because I'm always forgetting to bring my water with me in the stroller. So I'm thinking about maybe keeping it in the stroller because then I don't have to worry about filling it up and I don't have to worry about transferring my clean canteen, which I keep in my purse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really great idea, and it's really well designed. And I saw, I think it was Jennifer Garner in a magazine holding one.
Wow. Well, you know they're good.
Very stylish.
Yeah, they're very cute, too. They make you feel kind of sleek. And who doesn't like a water bottle that makes you feel cool?
Yeah.
And the last thing is a porcelain coffee mug. And they do have, like, stainless steel insulated coffee mugs that don't have plastic or anything. But I just love this idea because my husband's always leaving for work before he gets to finish his coffee. And I hate, you know, sending him out the door with a plastic mug.
Yeah, no, I have one of these. I got one of these for Nat, actually, for her 30th birthday. I won't say how many years ago.
So I thought it was this year.
Yeah, just a couple months ago. So I was ahead of the trend on this one.
Nice. You go, girl.
I just thought it was cute. It was called I Am Not a Paper Cup because it looks just like a paper cup, like a, you know, like a Starbucks cup or whatnot, but it's not.
Yeah, they're super cute. I just don't know how well they seal or anything like that, but I'll give it a try.
I have one. They're pretty good. I mean, it's not the kind of thing that it's not totally spill proof. It's probably the equivalent of a Starbucks cup. Like you'd have to be careful with it around kids, unlike some of the travel mugs have really pretty good lids.
Right.
But still, I like it.
Yeah, maybe not the most baby or kid friendly, but
right. Better than an open coffee mug, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. Or, you know, better than a Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
Well, I think that wraps up what we were planning to talk about today. We usually have a little victory. Do you have anything going on with your little boys, Nat?
We had a good day at preschool this morning after a really bad night of sleep last night. So, little victories.
Yay. I'm sorry you're losing sleep. Things were going so well.
No, Zachary was doing great. He was sleeping 9-hour stretches. He was going to bed at 7, waking up at 4 for a feeding, getting up at 7. It was amazing. He did that for a couple of weeks. And then he got a little cold last week on my birthday, actually. And it's been a nightmare since then. He's waking up every 2 hours. And in the last 2 nights, he hasn't wanted to go back to sleep. So he's like partying on the couch at 2 a.m. And he's just smiling and laughing and giggling at me. And I'm just like, you are really cute, but I really wish I was in bed right now.
Aww. So is he still snuggling with you? Do you bring him in bed anymore?
I do sometimes because I can at least get a little bit of rest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're going to try – because I switched him to milk formula for supplementing because I thought he had gotten over the milk allergy. And we were doing it for about a week before this started, but I'm thinking maybe it caught up with him and it's, you know, giving him a stomach ache. So I've sent Sean to the store and he's going to bring home some more soy formula today and we're going to switch him back and see if that makes any difference. Otherwise, I think it might be time for sleep training. I think he's starting to play me a little bit.
Ah, you have a soft spot. It's understandable.
It's really cute.
Well, I hope that the soy works. I do and I don't. I don't want it to be a milk allergy, but, you know.
I don't, at this point, because it's different than an actual milk allergy. You know, they're more likely to outgrow the milk protein intolerance that he has or sensitivity. So if he needs to be on soy for another 6 months, that would be fine. As long as he can get some sleep.
Well, sending you good sleep vibes. He's what, 4 months now?
He is almost 5 months. He'll be fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's rolling over in both directions, and he's trying to sit up. He's a little ways off from that, but he likes to sit. He just needs a little bit of help.
Wow, and Dominic is in the big bed still.
Yes, he is. It took him an hour and a half to fall asleep for his nap today, and we're only getting naps about 75% of the time, which is better than not at all, but it's definitely a little – he has a little bit more space to play, and he definitely takes advantage of that. At least he stays in bed, though. Knock on wood, we haven't had him get out yet.
Yeah, and you can close the door. We don't close the door with Elle. And so naps usually only happen whenever I have her in the car and she falls asleep during nap time, and then I can transfer her to her bed. And sometimes maybe I just drive around a little longer than necessary.
If you stop the car, will she stay asleep or will she wake
up? Yeah, like I literally can transfer her to her bed and she'll sleep for 2 more hours.
That's wonderful.
But I know some people can't do that. But that's how I do it. I've turned – I don't know if I'm lazy or if I'm just strategic.
I think strategic is a better way to say it.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining me today and to BBZ too. It was so nice to chat with you.
He enjoyed it as well.
And I guess our next podcast will be after Christmas. So for all our listeners who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas to you all.
And happy holidays. We'll talk to you before the new year, I think.
Yeah, hopefully. We may take next week off, depending on how chaotic it gets. But if not, we hope to have you back here next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for listening.